The Southwest WA Drought Resilience Adoption and Innovation Hub acknowledges the traditional custodians throughout Western Australia and their continuing connection to the land, waters and community. It pays its respects to elders past and present and extends that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Hello, I'm Julianne Hill, Hub Adoption Manager. This podcast series on dry season responses is brought to you by the Southwest WA Drought Hub and funded through Future Drought Fund. In this series, we'll hear from growers and industry experts on managing dry season responses, ranging from early planning to tactical decision making as the season changes throughout the year and setting up for your following season.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Dry Season Resources podcast. Today, we are talking weather. It's a topic that's always front and center for growers' minds, and we're going to be talking about weather tools in particular. So when a forecast tells you that there's, 40% chance of rain, what does that mean? What does it actually mean you've got to get rain over 40% of the farm? Is it just a 40% chance? What do all these things mean and how do we make it work for us? To do that, I am joined by Meredith Guthrie, who is a senior research scientist at the Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development. DPIRD from now on, because I'm not saying that ever again, as well as Michaela Alexander from the Bureau of Meteorology, otherwise known as BOM, and she is a agriculture customer lead. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast, Michaela and Meredith.
It's great to be here.
Thank you very much.
I am going to ask you both to start off by telling me what qualifies you to be talking about weather on this podcast. So over to you first, Meredith. Can you tell us what it is you do for DPIRD?
So I'm Meredith Guthrie and I work at DPIRD in Perth. I've worked in the climate and weather team since 2003 and I look at climate on a daily basis for the Southwest Land Division and produce lots of maps, and also look at future climate projections and what the world might be like in the future.
And how about you, Michaela? What is it that you do with BOM?
I'm one of four customer leads in the agriculture team at the Bureau. I'm essentially an extension officer. So my role is to coordinate information in and out of the Bureau relating to the agriculture sector. Information I gather from industry isn't always weather and climate related. It can be about issues on farms such as labour shortages or fertiliser prices and supply chain insights. Yeah, I work with customers to identify and understand the ways that the Bureau can partner with the sector to deliver some more impact and value. And prior to joining the Bureau a couple of years ago, I spent a bit over a decade working as a field agronomist in Western Victoria, looking after broadacre and pasture clients around the Ballarat area.
Amazing. All right. So we've got sort of the agronomy side of things and the climate side of things well covered for this podcast. Meredith, given that we are talking about weather, I thought it would be a good place to start to get a bit of an overview of the seasonal climate outlook as it stands for this season, for 2024. Can you give us a bit of an idea of what that outlook is telling us at the moment?
Sure. So we've come off a quite a dry summer, so we haven't had much rain in the Southwest Land Division for since November. And the outlook is not that really friendly at the moment. We have a climate driver called the Indian Ocean Dipole, and all five models that the Bureau look at are indicating a positive Indian Ocean Dipole. So when it's positive, it means that there is cooler sea surface temperatures to the north of us and rain actually is present, so we don't get much rainfall. And it's also much hotter when we have a positive Indian Ocean Dipole. Having said that, the most of this climate models that we look at here at DPIRD, and we look at 20 of them, most of them are saying neutral conditions. So neutral means equal chance of above or below median. So what that's really saying is anything's possible and there's no real clear signal. If we think about the Pacific Ocean, there's actually indication that a La Nina might happen. Now, La Nina for us over here in the West doesn't really mean wet like it does in the East. So at the moment, it might be a bit of a bumpy season if this positive Indian Ocean dipole eventuates. And it might actually develop in May and hang around till September. So it might be drier and warmer conditions, unfortunately.
You spoke about the models that DPIRD uses then, Meredith, and there's 20 of them. So what I want to know is we get these forecasts, these long-range forecasts, or even the short-range ones for that matter. Where does that information actually come from? How do you guys figure out, you know, what chance there is of it being above average rainfall, below average? How do you actually come to that information and use these models to create these forecasts?
Okay, so a model such as ACCESS, like the Bureau's model, they run that model 99 times in one day. So they have an ensemble of outlooks and they take the median of that outlook. So the Bureau is saying, you know, 60% chance of being above median. That means that 60% of those 99 runs are actually indicating above median and 40% of those runs are saying below. The Bureau actually have a lot of different tools, and I know we'll talk about tools in a moment, but they actually can pinpoint that down to a specific location and you can sort of dive deeper. So when we look at our 20 different national and international models, we take a look at what the median of the runs are saying and we put that into a little bar chart that we have in the Seasonal Climate Outlook newsletter that DPIRD puts out every month.
All right, and the one I want to know purely for my own knowledge so I know whether or not my washing is going to get wet when I put it out on the line is when the forecast, let's just say like for the next few days, the forecast is telling me that there's a 60% chance that it's going to rain. What does that mean? Is it going to rain where I am? What does that mean?
So the Bureau's forecast often has a range of rainfall figures. The percentage chance means you'll receive at least 0.2 millimetres of rainfall, which is the smallest measurable amount of rainfall that can be observed. So if you've got 5 to 10 millimetres displayed along with a 60% chance of rainfall, it means you'll have 60% chance of receiving at least 0.2 millimetres. And then the lower range, the 5 millimetres, you'll have 75% chance of receiving or exceeding. And then the 10 millimetres, 25% chance of receiving. So to recap that one, you've got the percentage range of receiving any rain at all, sort of being at least that 0.2 millimetres, and then a 75% chance of receiving the lower end of the range, and a 25% chance of receiving the higher end of the range.
Interesting. Okay, I'm glad I asked that question because I truly had no idea how that worked. I've always just gone on the basis of if it's 50% or higher, it's probably going to rain. But it sounds like, I mean, it's a decent system to work off, but it's not a foolproof system that I had going on by any means. When it comes to these forecasts, Meredith, What does DPIRD actually put out that growers in WA specifically can access regarding weather and climate forecasts?
So where to find this information is in something called the Seasonal Climate Outlook newsletter that is on the AgRIC website, which will soon be available on the new DPIRD website, which will roll out on the 1st of July. I also have to mention there's something called the autumn predictability barrier. So at this time of year, so we're in autumn now, March, April, May, we're nearly at the near end of autumn in May. The models are at their weakest skill because things like ENSO, so things in the Pacific Ocean, El Nino Southern Oscillation, is generally falling out of phase, and so the models have their weakest skill. So outlooks at this time should be viewed with caution. The skill of climate models are the best in winter, and also weather forecasts are best in winter because we have our cold fronts that are pretty reliable and you can actually track them and the amount of rain in the system is actually pretty accurate. The skill of the model is also pretty poor in summer because we have things like tropical cyclones and isolated thunderstorms that aren't picked up by the model. So you can find all that information from the AgRec website.
That was going to be one of my questions regarding the, I guess, the reliability of these forecasts. I feel like, yeah, as the year goes on, they do get a bit more, I don't know, reliable is probably the word. And then what they say is going to happen is more likely to happen. Whereas, yeah, in January or February, you know, we'll get told that we're going to get X amount of rain and, you know, you get two drops if you're lucky. So is that because of things like cyclones? Is that why they're a bit more unreliable at that time of year?
Yeah, so you can think of the model as a net and sometimes the holes in the net, because sometimes the climate models can be a 60-kilometre grid and they fine-tune that down to 5 kilometres, and the thunderstorms are way too small and they'll slip through the grid. And because things like that happen so quickly as well, whereas climate drivers such as ENSO and the Indian Ocean Dipole, they develop a lot longer, takes a lot longer for the sea surface temperatures to cool and warm, and that's why they you can actually forecast them a lot more ahead of time than, say, like a thunderstorm, which is very patchy. Even the rain that we had in the Southwest Land Division in late April, that was from a western trough and that was very patchy.
So, Michaela, with these models being, I guess, a bit unreliable, particularly in summer and autumn, how do growers use them to make their decisions farming-wise if they can't be 100% certain that what they're saying is actually going to happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it is really important to dive into the forecast as deep as you can, I suppose, to get as much information as you can. So the Climate Outlooks webpage on the Bureau's website, for example, is where you can look at your seasonal rainfall and temperature outlooks for any location across the country. So you can either drop your mouse and pinpoint where you are or type in your location. So as Meredith mentioned, this is one model output being the Bureau's Access S model. And we've got forecasts and maps showing information such as chance of above median, where you often see the map of Australia that might look brown or with blobs of white and blue on it. You can look at chance of extremes and outlook scenarios, or the chance of three-day rainfall totals as well for the upcoming weeks, months and seasons. So as an example, on the chance of above median maps, what they can tell you is the chance of a rainfall being above or below the median amount for your location. So that's indicated by the colour on the map. And as I mentioned, when you click down and look into your location, you get some decile bars pop up in a little pop-up box. So this can show you how likely, you know, rainfall, for example, if it'll be wetter or drier than usual for that location. So it will actually show you if the outlook is weighted towards maybe a decile 1 and 2 season or perhaps a decile 8 and 9 season. So if you can pop into those little boxes that pop up on the maps, it'll give you a lot more information and also the past skill as well, which is important. So, yeah.
Just to add to that, Michaela, I find there's one that you can click on. It gives you a 5-month outlook as well in their little box, and you can actually see the variation in the access runs, I guess. So they have a little box and whiskers. So if that box and whisker plot is actually, there's less variation, you can have more confidence in what the model is telling you, because obviously all the variations of that run are saying similar things, so you have more confidence.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Meredith. So that will show extremes or any outliers in the model runs as well, so the spread of the forecast. So that'll give you an indication of, yeah, uncertainty as well. So I guess it's important to mention also where there is white or some of those greyer areas on those maps, it doesn't always mean you're going to get an average season. So that can often mean that there is actually more spread in the model output and that the forecast is unclear or there is a bit of uncertainty. So, yeah, super important just to dive a little bit deeper into those maps for your location and, yeah, get an understanding of what's happening.
So we're heading into winter. These forecasts are going to get a bit more reliable, hopefully, as time goes on. But in general, how can growers use these weather forecasts to manage risk? And what can they do differently throughout their year using these forecasts to help manage the risk on their operations?
So I guess people have got a number of different resources that they use for their weather and climate information. And I think the most important thing is that no matter where you get your information from, that you need to understand what you're looking at. And as I said, sort of dive as deep as you can if you're using that information as part of your decision-making process. So everyone's got a different appetite for risk. It really comes down to each individual. But just like when you're making any big decisions on farm, be sure to make sure that you understand the whole picture rather than just sort of running away with a couple of headline pieces of information. Forecasts are probability based, so there's always a chance of, you know, a different scenario playing out than what you thought. So if you've got an understanding of the likelihood and the probability of that forecast for your location, you'll definitely be better equipped to make decisions.
I'd just like to add that DPIRD have a number of tools that we have we can use in season, such as the soil water, potential yield, rainfall to date and extreme weather events, tools that are available on our website, and they can give you some information on where you're tracking based on past climatology. So you can actually think, oh, actually it feels like an average year when actually it might be decile three, and that can sort of maybe tailor your decisions based on where you're tracking in the season. We've also have the DPIRD Weather Station Network, which is 100. We have 191 weather stations throughout the state, and they are very good. We actually have a couple of apps that are available and are in the process of being updated. And these Weather Station Network has actually an hourly forecast that comes from the European Centre of Medium Range Weather Forecasts. So we have an hourly forecast attached to our locations, and gives rainfall information and also, very important, spray information, which is based on delta T and wind speed and direction. So we've got a couple of tools that are very helpful.
Let's dive into more of these tools, because it's all very good and well to talk about forecasts, but I know that there is more available to growers than just, you know, a general forecast that's, you know, telling them whether or not it's going to rain in the next 3 days or not. Michaela, what are the main tools that growers have access to that BOM provides?
Yeah, I guess the most popular ones would be the Climate Outlooks website that I mentioned earlier, but also MetEye, which is the Bureau's forecast on the website. So again, comes up with a map of Australia. You can pick your location to get a tailored forecast for where you are. That gives you a text view option as well with 3 hourly forecasts, and also the BOM app. So that's probably your next best bet for your short-term weather forecasts. And the other great thing about the Bureau's app is, since it was updated last year, I believe, you can also click on the radar map tab down the bottom, and you can see a 90-minute radar loop from 90 minutes in the past as well as 90 minutes into the future. So that's a pretty nifty tool for growers as well.
One of the other tools that I know growers have access to and like to use is the My Climate View. What is that and how does that actually work?
So My Climate View is produced by the Bureau and also CSIRO, and it has a look at future climate projections. So it has 8 different climate models that have been tailored specifically to Australia, and you can put your location in, say, Meriden, and you can look at future climate 2030, 2050 or 2070 under 2 different greenhouse gas scenarios. So that's RCP 4.5, which is the median greenhouse gas scenario, and 8.5, which is the high greenhouse gas scenario. It also has a look at, you can actually, from My Climate View, you can actually look at the 3-month outlook from Access as well. So you can look at future and also the next 3 months. Now, looking at My Climate View can be a bit daunting, a bit scary, especially looking at the future temperature. But I'd like to remind the listeners that since the mid-1970s here in the Southwest Land Division, we've already experienced a changing, drying climate. So whether or not they know or realise, they've already been adapting to climate change. So the future shouldn't be as scary as what it looks like.
Is that MyClimateView a tool that growers can use, as you said, Meredith, they've already been adapting, but I guess to help future-proof them a little bit and plan that adaption ahead of time?
Yes, absolutely. So I've been involved in a project with Meat Livestock Australia called Sheeplinks Future Sheep, and we've been looking at MyClimateView, and we've had a couple of case studies, and we've been helping our livestock producers, specifically in Wage and Cogent up in Meriden. And from that, they've actually been able to put some more shade, plant some more trees now so they have more shade in the future. And they've been looking at watering points and things like that. So you can sort of future drought proof, I guess, your farm and actually make decisions now that will pay benefits off in the future.
Michaela, going back to some of the BOM tools that you mentioned, I know that I keep kind of asking you the almost the same question again, but I do want to know how growers can best use those tools. And I guess if there's certain points in the season where different tools are better off to be used at different times, depending on how, you know, reliable they are.
Yeah, I think like Meredith mentioned, the autumn predictability barrier is definitely something to keep in mind, especially looking at long-term or seasonal outlooks, but they're still going to give you a reasonable indication of what's to come in the future. The MetEye and the Bureau app are more your 0 to 7 day forecasts, so if you sort of ask it about accuracy or anything along those lines, to produce a forecast, the computer models need to know current conditions or local observations. And where there aren't observations, these conditions are estimated by the computer model, and that's where errors can be introduced into the equation. So errors can accumulate as well the further that you look ahead in time, and that can be why a 10-day forecast is less accurate than a 3-day forecast. So over time, you know, there's been better modelling techniques and satellite data's improved forecast accuracy. And even nowadays, the Bureau's 7-day forecasts are as good as what our 4-day forecast was in the 2000s. So things are still definitely improving.
I was going to ask that. All growers want, all anyone wants is a crystal ball when it comes to weather. So can we expect these tools to improve as time goes on? You know, in 10 years, will we be able to know exactly what the weather's going to be doing in 10 days' time?
Sorry, Shannon, I don't think there'll ever be a weather forecast that will be 100% accurate. It's just...
Damn!
It's the nature, the chaotic nature of the weather climate system, I guess, and physics. Physics is hard to predict. Yeah.
Physics and science. I feel like you could say that's there's a reason why something's not going to happen and people go, yeah, fair, okay, physics and science. Okay, are there any other tools or resources available to growers when it comes to weather and climate that we maybe haven't talked about yet that you guys think are important for people to know? Or maybe tools that aren't best for growers but are best for our, you know, people out in the rangelands, because we've talked about a lot about the Southern West Land Division, but out in those kind of further areas at all?
The Australian Water Outlook is another tool on the Bureau's website. So this can show your soil moisture, so for your root zone, also has some deeper layers of soil moisture that are visible on a map of Australia. And again, you can point locations, you can zoom into the map as well. It also produces images for runoff and evapotranspiration, which is super useful for anyone who's under an irrigation system to help you calculate irrigation requirements. So that can provide a historical figures as well as forecasts as well. So that's, another useful tool, which is, Australian Water Outlook.
Also, Shannon, there's a GIWA crop report that has lots of information about yields, and also my colleague here at DPIRT, Ian Foster, does a seasonal outlook for that and might have contained some of my maps that I produce.
There is also the GGA newsletter, which you guys listening all know about by now, but anything to do with dry season resources you can find in that newsletter. And there's always links in there. So, you know, you'll have links in there to the Depot Climate Outlook and all those bits and pieces as well. So often a good starting point if you're not sure where to go. And you can always check the show notes of our podcast as well, because we will have information in those show notes about all of the different things that our lovely guests have talked to us about today. So if you don't know where to find them, just head into the show notes and they will all be linked there for you. Michaela and Meredith, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, Shannon.
You've just been listening to the Southwest WA Hub's Limited Dry Season podcast series. For further support for decision-making through dry periods, the Drought Hub website features a collection of resources for the livestock, grains and horticultural industries. You can find them under the Resources tab on the Hub website at hub.gga.org.au.
This episode has been brought to you by the Southwest WA Drought Hub, funded by the Future Drought Fund. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact Lifeline on 13 11 14.